It's time to let go.
All right, who's ready to continue our series? The comeback. Are you ready? All right. How many love a good comeback story? Do you love that? How many love a good comeback story? Come on now. I can tell you, I'm a sucker for a good comeback story. You give me a movie with a good comeback story, man, I'm there watching it. I love it to watch it. I love all those movies of great comebacks. And I believe in our life that it's never over until God says it's over. You got to know that. Our God specializes in resurrecting dead things. Things that seem like they're dead, lost, and gone. God has a way of specializing, raising things back up to life. That's what he does. And today, as long as you are serving our God today, your life is never, ever over. Your circumstances are never, ever finalized until God says it's final. Amen? Come on, give God a hand clap for that. Yes. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's not over yet. All right. Today, we're going to continue this series. We spent a lot of times in James chapter 1 the last 3 weeks, and today I want to take a little bit of a different direction. I want to talk to you about from fear to fearless. From fear to fearless. I believe a lot of people have allowed fear to intimidate them, to hold them back, to keep them timid, to keep us back from really embracing everything that God has for our life. And so today I want to talk to you about how to get that back, how to get that fearless spirit back. Do you remember how fearless we were as kids? Come on now. How do you remember? As kids, we would jump off about anything. We'd go swimming in about anything. We would try just about anything. We were so fearless. Some people may say dumb, but you know, either way, we were very fearless growing up. I'm going to tell you a story today. And I've never told this story here because I never wanted my kids to hear this story. But my kids are getting big enough now. I can tell this story and not worry about that too much, okay? I think it's time to release the story to the church. You guys, I know you thought you heard all my crazy stories. I still got a lot of stories I haven't released yet. I'm just waiting for my kids to get big enough to tell you those examples. That's right. It's not over yet. I remember one time I was about 15 years old and me and my best friend and some of his buddies were at his house, and he had just purchased a truck at 15. He had an old beat-up work truck that he had bought off a friend, and he had 10, 12 acres out there, had a few horses, a few cattle, and they also had a little work truck out there. His dad had a little farm truck out there as well, and so they had two of them, and we happened to find the spare key in the farm truck one day, and of course, he had just gotten his truck, but of course, none of us had our license yet because we're all 14 and 15. And so we had this bright idea that we should race these trucks around the property. So we made this racetrack out on about 10 acres. And on one end had a pond, a little watering pond around it. And we would circle around that watering pond, went back on here, did a couple of little loops here and there. And we made this whole thing out. We took a tractor out, you know, and plowed it down. And so we're taking turns racing these trucks on the property at 14 and 15. I know, right? And so the more you do it, how many of the braver you get? And so pretty soon our NASCAR instincts kick in, and we're kind of crowding each other out and on the turns, you know, and playing chicken to see who's really going to take the corner at a high speed. And we're coming around the corner where the pond is. You guessed it. Someone crowded somebody too much, and the guy hit, my friend hit the side of that pond and went Dukes of Hazzard all the way. Just a good old boy. Right into the middle of the pond. Now, luckily, the pond was not very deep. It was just a watering pond just to feed the cattle. It was only about 3 to 4 feet deep. But we had a problem. His dad's truck was in the middle of the pond. And we couldn't get it out. And his dad was going to be home soon. And so a couple of the friends got scared. I'm out of here. Bye. They left. A few of us like, all right, we're in this together. Okay, so we all start chipping in all the money we could come up with. I think we have about $25 between about 3 or 4 of us. Went inside, looked in the cushions, and grabbed a handful of change, rolled quarters, no lie, nickels and dimes. And we called the tow truck, had just enough money, paid him in cash and some pennies and quarters, no lie. And he pulled, about the winch, pulled the truck out of there. Of course, the whole time, he's like, boys,
Somebody got a little carried away, didn't you? Anyway, you know,
he got a big kick out of it. He's winching this truck out of this pond. This is a true story. So we get it out. Oh, if we open the doors up and the water comes out, you know, But then it had mud all inside the floorboard and the wheels, and the whole thing was mud. So we pulled over there inside and we start rinsing it off. We got to get all this mud off before his dad gets home. And sure enough, while we're rinsing it off, his dad pulls up. And we're like, oh, we're busted now. He was so soon that he had to pass the tow truck going down the dirt road. And we're out there hosing it off. And he pulls up and he walks up at that truck. He looks at us and says, boys, that truck's needed a good washing for a long time. Thank you very, very much. And we said, you're welcome. You're welcome. And never, ever told him the real story behind that washing of the truck. Somewhere along the line, we lose being fearless, don't we? I don't know if we just get some common sense. We start maturing. And there's nothing wrong with that, obviously, but somewhere along the line, we lose being fearless. We lose our fearlessness. You know, and I want you to see this, that God wants us to not let fear dominate us. Matter of fact, God doesn't want us to live a reckless life, but he does want us to live fearless. Notice the difference. He's not asking you to go live a reckless life, but he doesn't want us to be dominated by fear. He wants us to live our life fearless, with him in control. Matter of fact, look at 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. For this reason, now Paul was writing to Timothy. Timothy was his spiritual son, okay? And Timothy was a little timid. Notice the Timothy name, timid name, okay. Timothy was timid. And so for this reason, Paul writes him, I remind you, he goes, I want you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you. Through the laying on of my hands. He's reminded, remember, I laid on the hands. I sent you out to do God's work. I sent you out to plant these churches. He goes, so remember this and let it burn deep. For God gave us a spirit not of fear. Let's say it again. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, self-control. And so Paul was saying that when it comes to aligning ourselves with the purpose of God, there is no fear. Now, what he was saying was this, when you align your giftings up, when you take what God is calling you to do and you align your life up with the purpose of God, he goes, fan that flame and live fearless. When it comes to the things of God, connect to God's purpose and live your life fearless. That's one area we don't have to worry about. We can live our life fearless is when we connect to God's purpose in our life. And he goes, I don't want you to live in this spirit of fear. I want you not to be controlled by that. I want you to realize God's got you. And I want you to learn to live fearless. Whatever God's called you to walk in, do it fearless. Have you ever thought about this? Our God is undefeated. Our God has never lost. Our God can't lose. It's against everything. He can't lose. He is undefeated. And so when I connect my DNA to his DNA of his purpose, I can't fail. There is no failure when I'm walking in God's purpose in my life. God will always cause everything to work for good in my life. God will cause all things to work for good in my life. God will empower me, and he wants you to do it fearless. He wants you not to be controlled by fear. There's a story in the Bible, it's a great story of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah was the older, Elisha was the younger. Now, I think God has a sense of humor, I really do, because I'm thinking, he knew we'd be talking about these two together all the time, right? And I've never heard anybody preach on a sermon on Elijah and Elisha that didn't at least one time mix up the two names. I'm thinking, God, why couldn't you name them Elijah and Bob? It'd been a lot easier. But he named him Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah was, of course, was a great prophet, had done great things for God. And God instructed Elijah, I want you to raise up another, get him ready to take your place. pretty soon I'm going to call you home. I'm going to take you home, send my chariots to come pick you up. It's an incredible story. Elijah was so favored to God that God didn't wait till he died. He actually sent his chariots to bring him to heaven. We see the whole story. It's an incredible story where he actually never died. He was actually taken to heaven. And he said, before this happens, I want you to raise up another. And so let's pick up the story in 1 Kings 19, verses 19 through 21. Now, Elisha, he departed from there and found Elisha. Elijah departed, found Elisha, the son of Shaphat or Shaphat or Snapchat, whatever his name is. Shaphat, who was what? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. And he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him, takes his cloak off, lays it upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. He goes, hey, I'll go with you, man, but let me kiss my father, my mother, and tell them goodbye, and I'll come back and tell you, I'll follow you. And he said to him, go back again for what? What have I done? You know, Elijah was kind of testing him, like, I didn't do anything. I just laid my cloak upon you. You look a little cold, you know, whatever. He goes, and he returned following him and took his yoke of oxen, talking about Elisha. Remember, he's out there plowing the field. Now he comes back, takes his yoke. That's the things that hold the oxen together. He breaks that down, makes a fire out of it. Then he takes and sacrificed the oxen. He boiled the flesh with the yokes of the oxen, gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and went after Elijah, and he became his assistant. And so we see this happening here where Elijah lays the cloak, and Elisha made the decision to go after. Now, number one, write this down. If you want to live fearless, you got to learn to run after the future. Run after the future. What future will you run after? What's in the future that you will run after today? What's waiting for you ahead? Is there a better marriage waiting for you? Is there a new season of God's anointing waiting for you? Is there something you've been stuck in for a long time and say, no, I can't live this way. I am bored with my life. I am complacent in my walk. I've got to begin to go after the future of what God wants for my life. What is it you're running after today? Because your future, you got to run after it. You got to run after your future. Run after the things that are happening before you. Fearless people choose the future. Fearless people don't live in the past. They choose to go after the future. When Jesus called his disciples, he says, hey, you want to fish after fish, but man, come and follow after me and I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately they put their nets away. They put their boats away and they ran after Jesus. When they saw this whole trend, every time he was calling out to the disciples, hey, come and follow after me. The guys would take their stuff. They would just put it away and they went after Jesus. Now, we don't know the answer to this question. It's just a hypothetical I want to give you. It's just my opinion. But I wonder if there was people that Jesus actually said that to who never did go. If there's people that Jesus asked to come and be his disciples and never followed. And the reason why we don't know, because they said no. Ain't nobody cares about people who say no. No historians are writing about people who say no. All the history writes about the people who took a risk. The people who went forward and said, yes, there's a future. And we know about the disciples and we study the disciples. And to this day, we still hear and study about these great men. Why? Because they embraced the future. They ran after the future, not knowing where it was going. They just knew who was leading the future, and they wanted to be a part of that. Hey, man, I don't know, but I'm going. I'm going. I don't know. There's something in my spirit. I don't want to just clean these fish all day. I want to go after something greater purpose in my life. I want to run after that. Maybe this is it. Maybe it's not, but maybe this is it. Let's go after it. We see this trend happening. All throughout the Bible, you see the same thing. Elisha, now the younger one, he was out there plowing the fields. He had a whole fleet of oxen out there. He's plowing the fields. So we know this to know that he was a very skilled farmer. He was a very skilled farmer. But did we ever hear about the great skilled farming ability of Elisha? No. We never hear, boy, he could grow some of the greatest crops. He could plow some of the greatest fields. We never hear any of those things, but we do hear that, man, he took the anointing of God and put his cloak upon the water and that thing parted. We do hear where he prayed over the woman who had the oil and who gave him his last meal, and that oil never ran out. We do hear how he prophesied this, that some people who put him up were taking care of him and showed him kindness, and they were barren and couldn't have children. He prophesied and called out a son, and they had a child. Later on, that child got sick and died. And what happened? He prayed, and God raised that baby back up to life. Oh, we hear about that. We have to remember the time when he called all the Baal out there, all the false idols, and all the king had all these witch doctors and people out there, and they're out there all day cutting themselves, calling down their gods, and nothing's happening. And, you know, Elisha's over there. You guys are crazy. Then when it's his turn, God's, all right, you guys get out of the way. Remember, he poured the water over it, dug the trench, poured more water and more water and more water. And if that wasn't enough, more water and more water. And then he called down the fire of God, which consumed the fire. And the whole nation came back to God. Yeah, we remember that. Why? Because he chose his future. See, he remembered that because he had a future. You can't always just play it safe. I believe God wants us to embrace the things of him for our future. Think about the 12 spies that went out. Remember, Moses sent them out to look at the promised land? 10 came back. We can't do it. They're big. Oh, they're a lot bigger than us. There's more of them than us. We can't. Guys living in fear. Didn't want to try anything at all. Of course, there was two who said, oh, man, this place is great. It's got the best. You should see the grapes. They're like just so big. Man, the fruit here is so awesome. The crops here. Oh, this place is full of milk and honey. This is going to be the best place we've ever lived. Can anybody name me a name of the 10 spies who had the negative report? We don't know those names, but for generations, we've been naming all of our kids Joshua and Caleb for a reason. Just saying, people remember people who go forward. I'm Joshua and Caleb. Oh, yeah. They're blessed of the Lord. Yeah. Why? Because we remember people who go after the future, not people who hang on to the past. The best way to be forgettable is hang on to the past. Oh, I know I just said that to you. All right. Come on now. Let's just be honest. Guys, we can go to any ball field on a Friday night. Friday Night Lights and football's happening, and you'll see guys there wearing their letter jacket from 15, 20 years ago. And they got to wear it like this because they can't fit to it anymore. See that field down there? I threw for one season 25,000 yards one time. High-fiving the buddies. Can't do it over their head because they can't get their hands up because their jacket's so tight. I mean, Uncle Rico, all the way there. Why? It's a shame because of some people, they never outgrow that. That was the highlight of their life. Now, listen. I mean, they were so fearless. I mean, man, they were up at 5:30 working out back long before they had that big belly. Now they had to slim down. They were there working out, running, lifting, practicing. I mean, they were just so fearless. We'll beat anybody. We'll take anybody on. We're going to be state champs this year. We're going to the playoffs this year. This is our year. Every year is our year. We were so fearless, guys. You remember that? Guys, what happened? What happened? In our DNA, ladies, this is for you too, but guys, I want to speak to you a second. What happened? In our DNA, there's a fearlessness that God wants us to live in. He put it in us. Sometimes we don't know any better other than just to trust God. We're going for it, man. We're going for it. Guys, what happened? I believe today, men, hear me, that God wants to raise back up some men who will live fearless. Who will live and take your family to a place and say, man, as for me and my house, we're going to go after the things of God. I don't care what anybody else thinks. Man, I'm going to go for it. We're going to serve God. We're going to go all in. Man, let's let the Spirit of the Lord come upon us again and say, God, strip away my fear. Matter of fact, every guy in the house, stand up right now. I want to pray for you. Every man in the house, man. Come on, young men. Come on, guys. I believe that God's raising up something, even in the middle of this message right now. Raise your hands, guys. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that God, you would allow a fearless spirit to rise up in the men that you're calling today. That God, we would lead our family fearless. We would lead our lives fearless, going after you. God, help us not to always play it safe, but to look for you to stretch us and for us to lead and guide and take chances going for you. In Jesus' name, we say amen, amen. All right, guys. Woo! Man. Ladies, that's for you too. But I'm telling you, there is something, Pastor Tom, there's something about the heart of a man that God calls us to live fearless. As a matter of fact, Pastor Tom, stand up right there. They actually have a class right now going on, Wild to Heart, for guys who want to live fearless. Talk to him about it. He'll tell you all about it. We'd love to have the guys go to that. Man, there's a lot of things going on. And guys, God wants us to live our life fearless. Listen, if you're going to go to your future, man, I'm just telling you this right now. There's some habits that you're doing that aren't necessarily wrong, but they can't go with you to your new future. They can't follow you to your future. There's some old friends. There's nothing wrong with them. Good people. But they can't go with you to your future. I'm telling you, when you're going after your future, you got to run after it. You got to choose to run after it. And realizing that, number two, you got to close the door to your past. Close the door to your past. Elisha burned his yoke and then killed his oxen, and he had a big barbecue, Texas style, right there. I mean, could you see this thing happening? Hey, he takes the yoke, breaks it down, makes firewood out of it. They start burning it, and they start cooking all these oxen. And he's like, hey, tell everybody, come on. We're going to feed tonight. And they had a big party, and he gives out all this free barbecue to everybody. He's sending home, you know, family lunches. Let's go home. Take us home. Taking boxes to go. Take us on home with you. Take us on home with you. Why? Because he was getting rid of all of it. Why? Because he realized something. I've got to close my door to my past. I'm going after him, and I'm not playing the safe. I'm not going to go back and have something to fall back on. It's either all or nothing for me. Wow. What kind of faith was that? It's either all or nothing. And so he's like, I'm getting rid of it. I'm getting rid of it. I'm going to close the door on my past. I'm going to burn my past. Look, fearless people burn the past. Fearless people burn the past. Burn the past. Let go of the hurt. Burn the past. Let go of the betrayal. Burn the past. Let go of the failure. Let go of security. Let go of my identity. His personal identity was tied up in being a great farmer, but he didn't let that stop him from burning the thing that was keeping him back. And he's like, I know me. He just knew, I know me. I got to get rid of this stuff. If I don't get rid of it, I'll want to come back and take care of this. I'll try to go back and farm the land. I'll try to come back and fall in on things I'm secure in. So he burned the past. So all he could do was go forward in what God was calling him to do. Wow. Fearless people, they burned the past. Elisha was all in. Jesus even touched on the same point in Luke 9:62. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Goes right at hand, right? Elisha left his plow, burned it, got rid of it. And then Jesus said, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back. What was he saying? He was saying this. If you're going to plow, you don't plow like this. If you did, then you'd be like, yes, your lines would be all over here. You'd have all these curves and you couldn't grow anything right because everything's curved and out of place. He's like, no, if you're going to plow ahead, your eyes got to be fixed ahead. If you're going to go forward, you got to look ahead and quit looking backwards. You got to fix your eyes forward. Jesus told us very clear. Number three. Refuse to settle. Refuse to settle for less than all that God has for you. Let's say that word all together. Refuse to settle for less than all that God has for you. I think many of us are comfortable with what God has for us now. But I'm hoping today that something would begin to just kind of begin to rattle in your spirit and say, God, no. There's more for me, God. You're not done with me. Some of you, you've tasted some things in your past of God, and God's used you in a great way. And maybe you're thinking, man, my best days are behind me. No, they're not. I'm prophesying today. Your best days are ahead of you. Your best marriage is right ahead of you. Your best relationship with your family is right ahead of you. Your best ministry is right ahead of you. I'm telling you today, your best business is right ahead of you. Come on, your best relationships are right ahead of you. Right there. And I don't want to settle for anything less than what God has for me. This Christmas, are you going to open up every present under the tree? Yes or no? Yeah. If your name is on a present, are you going to say, hey, you know what, family, thanks. I've already opened up two gifts, and I know there's a third one under there with my name on it. But I think I'll wait till two Christmases from now, and then I'll open it up and find out what I got. No, you're not. You're going to give that to me. I'm going to open it up. I want it now, right? I want every blessing I have coming to me now. I'm not going to postpone it to the future. I'm not going to put it off to the future. I'm like, God, I want what you have for me now. See, that's what he was saying. I'm all in. I don't want to settle for anything less than what God has for me now. So Elijah's getting ready to be taken up to heaven, and he keeps trying to create some distance between him and Elisha, because he knew God had told him, I'm going to send my chariots. They're going to pick you up, take you to heaven. So Elijah was like, yeah, let's get this going, God. I'm ready. I've lived a long life. I've done this thing on here. I'm ready to go. And so he kept trying to create some distance, hoping God would come down and pick him up and take him to heaven. And so Elisha was like, I know. I ain't no dummy. I know what you're trying to do. I want to tell you right now, I ain't missing it. I'm going to be right there when they pick you up. I'm going to be right there. I am not going to miss out on 1 ounce. If you're up, I'm up. If you walk, I walk. If you run, I run. If you work, I work. If you nap, I'm keeping one eye open. I'm telling you right now. He was like right there, all in. He wanted everything that God had for him. Look at this story now in 2 Kings 2:9. And when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, he's getting ready to be taken up. And he goes, now ask what you want. What shall I do for you before I'm taken away from you? And Elisha said this, please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. Wow. I mean, talking about bold in his request. He didn't just say, give me your same spirit. He didn't just say, give me your anointing. He had the guts to say, I want a double portion of your anointing. And I believe God was somewhere just laughed. Was like, this is awesome. I love it. I love this. Because God honors it, and God gives him a double anointing of the same anointing that was on Elijah. God gave it to Elisha because he was just bold enough to ask for it and to go after it and say, I'm not going to, no, there's something better for me. No, not just what you had. I want more. No, not just what mom and dad had. I want to go somewhere deeper. No, not just what I've had in my past. I want something even deeper in God. You got to say, I want to go there. I want that in my life. What is it? Don't be afraid. God's not going to be offended because you ask for more when it's connected to his will, when it's connected to his purpose. Ask away. God, I want to reach more people this year than I've ever reached. God, I want Destiny Church to have so many people, we can't fit them in the building. We can't have enough services. We don't have enough parking. I wish God would just do it. Why? Because God is moved by the heart. We want to reach people. We want to reach people. Dream big dreams. Say it. God, I want to go after it in my life. What is it when it's connected to God? You can ask away. He was bold. He was fearless. Refuse to settle for less than God has for us. There's a book called Running with the Kenyans. And the author Finn went to Kenya and he began to live and run with some of the greatest Olympic champions in the history. And for those of you who know this, and some may not know this, Kenyans are usually some of the best, if not the best in the world, when it comes to long distance running especially. They're always great runners, but when it comes to long-distance running, man, these guys are right there at the top. They win the marathons. They win the Olympics. I mean, all, Kenyans are everywhere. You guys know this if you study about running. And he went to live with them, and he studied, was trying to find out what's their technique, why these small villages in Kenya constantly win these worldwide races. And they asked him and said, tell us your secret. Why do you always beat the Americans? Why are you always winning? And they said to him, because we run to win. Like, well, so do we. He He was kind of offended. Yeah, USA, USA. We run two to win. He goes, no, 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 you don't understand. Americans, they've already won. He goes, by the time they get to those big races and the trials and the Olympics, he goes, they've already got sponsors. They can do this. They got people sponsoring them, nutritionists feeding them, people taking care of their housing and training facilities. And they're already, they got all the equipment they need. And man, they're being taken care of. And so he goes, they've already won. In Kenya, if we don't win, we get no sponsors. We get no money. My family doesn't eat. My village doesn't eat. So when we win, I can feed my family. I can travel the world and race more, and I can even feed my village. We run to win because we got to. Our lives depend upon it. And I thought, how many of us really live our life and run the race like our lives depend upon it? When's the last time you ran your life like your life depended upon it? When's the last time you lived your life like your kids' lives depend upon it? Nah. Man, they're gonna have a better future. No, I'm going after God. I'm not gonna settle for where I'm at. I'm going further. Why? Because my family depends upon it. My spiritual life depends upon it. My family depends upon it. My children, my grandchildren, they depend upon it. I'm going somewhere. I'm going after the future. I'm running my life for the future. As we get ready to close, I want to read you one more scripture and we'll be done. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. Come on, let's say it together. Say, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the promise that God wants us to live our life in. Not dominated by fear. Not dominated by fear, but realizing God's got this. Listen, God's got this. God's got this. You're okay. You're going to be okay. God's got this. Why live it safe? Why play it safe? I don't say live it reckless, but don't let fear keep you from dreaming the dreams God's got for you. Connect to God's purpose. Do you believe God wants you to have a better family? Yeah. Do you believe God wants you to have a better marriage? Yeah. Do you believe God wants you to reach more people for Him? Yeah. Do you believe God can give you creative insight on things and how you can reach more people for the kingdom? Yes. Do you think God can give you a blessing where you can bless more people? If your business explodes so much that you can help start churches and support missionaries and help fund things and outreaches, do you think that would be a God thing? Yeah. I want to be blessed so I can be a blessing. I'm telling you, don't be afraid to dream the dreams that God has for you. Don't embrace it. I mean, don't run from it. Learn to embrace it. Let's bow our heads. As we bow our heads, when I ask you the most important question today is simply this. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? No matter what we talk about today, this is still the most important question. Is have you fully surrendered your life to Jesus? The Bible says that we must, first of all, believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that He died on the cross for our sins. He rose again on the third day. He is alive. We must believe that. But we must also confess it with our mouth that He is Lord. We believe it in our heart. We confess it with our mouth. If you've never done that before today, and today's your day, say, Pastor, where I'm sitting at today, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to surrender my life to Him. We won't do anything to single you out. We're not going to do anything to embarrass you or put the spotlight on you, I promise you. But with nobody looking at me, can you just raise your hand to me if you're ready to accept Jesus Christ? Raise your hand right now. So that's me, where I'm sitting. I want to see it. Make sure you raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else today? Raise your hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you're joining me. We had a couple this morning in the first service. We've had five already this service. How many think that's a good thing? Man, God's doing something right now. Amen. One more time. If you didn't raise it, I didn't see it. I want you to raise it right now where I can see it. Let me see it. I want to make sure you make that decision. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. So if you raise your hand, this is what I want you to do. I want you to say this prayer out loud with me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll say it too with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will follow after you. I will serve you all my days in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it from your heart, let's come on, put your hands together. Say, welcome to the family of God. Listen, that's just the beginning, okay? So much more. The Bible says we need to find the church home. It does. It says we find a family, a spiritual family we plug into that we can encourage each other. You're going to need that encouragement. If you don't have one, come, be back, be a part of this. We'd love to do that. Before you leave today, if you prayed that prayer, we have a free Bible and some other information we'd love to put in your hands before you leave. Right back here, the garage door open back up by the hub, and we'll have that waiting for you. Can I ask you to stand up across the auditorium as you do? How many say today, Pastor, I'm ready to live my life fearless. I'm ready to go to a different level. I want to live my life fearless. I don't want fear to dominate me. Yeah? Come on now. I don't want fear to dominate you. Come on, let's sing it to the Lord. Let's sing this as an anthem of our heart today. Our God is alive. This morning, can I invite you to lift your hands up? I want to pray with you before we leave today. Father, I thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear. But God, today I pray that a fearless spirit would rise up in your people. That God, we would not be afraid to embrace the future, to burn the past, and to believe God for even greater things ahead. God, may we burn the past, and may we run after our future and connect it to the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together. You believe that today? Before you leave today, turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, I'm fearless.